And amen. Let's pray today. Amen. Father, we believe and receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. I pray in the name of Jesus that as these words of light goes out, the lives of our hearers are changed forever. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you because as the word is spoken, the Bible says you confirm your word, Mark 16:20, with signs and wonders following. We thank you because your word not only is confirmed today, that your word will burn in the hearts of the hearers like Jesus speaking to the people on his journey to on their journey to Emmaus. I pray that the lives will not be the same in Jesus' mighty name. And the saints say, amen. Church, and the saints say, amen. Are you ready for God's word? I hope you have been, we're looking at navigated by God, part three. I hope you have been looking through the part one and part two. Because listen, navigated by God should not be a monthly theme for you. It should be a lifestyle. Can we get a believing amen? Amen. Tell your neighbor, pay attention. Come on, tap the person or wink or blink or whatever. Say, pay attention. Amen. Someone say, pay attention. Right? You know, navigated by God should not be a monthly thing for you. It should be a lifestyle. In fact, it's not just because you want to be led. It's because God wants to lead you. We showed you from scriptures that God is interested in leading you. We have also seen in scriptures that the leading of God is profiting. Meaning that he led you. That's the prophet. You know, our anchor scripture, as you remember, is Isaiah 48, verse 17. You can go there again. Isaiah 48, verse 17. Isaiah is a prophet, and he's telling us about the experience of Israel, right? Amen. By our own God. Amen. Look at verse 17. Are you there? Church, are you there? Okay, you're not there. We'll wait for you. You know, there's so much to say. The more you are there, the more we can cover. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you there now? Isaiah 48 verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. How does he do it? Which leadeth thee in the way that thou shouldest go. So there is a way that you should go. Praise God. And praise God. And we saw from scriptures, I think in Exodus 13, we saw how the Lord will lead the children of Israel. Exodus 13 verse 21, we saw from scriptures. And the Lord God went before them by a pillar of cloud to lead them. Are you there? To lead them by the way. Did he leave them at night? And by night in the pillar of fire. Amen. So the point there is, they did not beg God to lead them. God was interested in leading them from the beginning. Can we get a believing amen? We are now going to look at the summary of Moses concerning the leading. Deuteronomy 32. The summary of Moses when he was talking about God leading these people. I want you to see verse 9. Say, I am led by God. I have seen God lead people before. Amen. Praise God. Look at verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob, the lot of his inheritance. Verse 10. He found him where? I want you to be in verse 10. Where did he find him? In a desert land, in a waste and howling wilderness. So the point here is this. It doesn't matter where God finds a man. If that man will be led, he will allow himself to be led by God, he will fulfill God's plan and God's purpose. That's the beautiful thing. Someone say, God has a plan. Church, say, God has a plan. And you know, like we have been sharing with ourselves, God has a plan. You have a will. The beauty is, God is saying to you, align with my plan. I am wiser than you. Allow me lead you. That's all that this is about. What is the hard-heartedness of man? I want to lead myself. Praise God. Church, praise the Lord. And we told you there are some things about God that we must be loud about in this generation. Because if we are not loud about it, we might not be able to understand some things. We are and I shared with us from last week where we will see God who has a plan. This should make you tremble.
God has a 40-day project plan. But the fact that it is 40 days that the project plan will last is not up to God. God wanted the children of Israel to come out of from Egypt and to enter into Canaan. Only 40 days. This should humble you. That's why I tell people, which is the first point we're going to be going into today. I always tell people, while I know you can make a plan, you can make decisions. In fact, people who do seminars on making decisions as it relates to a lot of things, they are beautiful. But blessed is that man that knows this higher life. Are you hearing me? Church, are you hearing me? Yes. Yeah. He said, now, this man, this Lord has a 40-day plan. He's already scripted it out. And then people will rebel and frustrate his plan. And they will be in that same place for 40 years. And that's why I said to you, there's something about God you must understand. God has time. You don't. Praise God. That's why they call him Ancient of Days, as old as you. God doesn't count birthday. You do. That's why the psalmist will say, teach us to number our, that we can apply wisdom. Praise God. Because God is that kind of person that will say, let us go to Peckham. You say, no. I want to go to Streatham. Because if you want to go to Streatham, fine. That's why it's important in the leading of God. I'm not saying don't have desires. Because you must get this point. I am saying that you are working with a master who doesn't force people. He has a plan. That's why when you seek him genuinely, you will get the answer you're looking for. Praise God. Church, praise God. If you ask God genuinely and you are patient, there is nothing God cannot tell, God cannot reveal. If you are honest, if you are genuine, praise the Lord. God will tell them, don't have a king. He has already said it. He won't change his mind. Just like when God says, don't marry an unbeliever. Or when God says, do not walk in this, do not walk in that. He said it. He won't change his mind. They'll say, oh, we want to have a king. You say, oh, fine. You want to have a king? That's fine. That's the danger about the kind of God you serve. It is the fact that it does not superimpose on your will. It should make you humble. Amen. Church, amen. God doesn't come and say, by force, you must. No. That's why he will tell you, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons. And that word he uses there, he's not talking about a nephews or someone that they just give birth to. He talks about a sense of maturity. So who is a mature Christian? Let's put it that way. A mature Christian will prioritize God's leading. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. I've said a lot of things to cover all we spoke about the last 2 weeks. Amen. So let's go back again. Look at verse 10. I am Deuteronomy 32, verse 10. See, I'm led by God. He found him in a desert land, in the waste holding desert. He even described it for us. He led him about. I'm in verse 10. Did you see it there? He led him about. He instructed him. Let's go back again. This is consistent all throughout the week. How does God lead? Through his instructions. That's how God leads. One of the ways he leads. Amen. Church, amen. That's why God's word is his instruction, is his leading to you. How do you want to know how God wants to lead you in your life, in your marriage, in your this, in your that? God's word is God's leading to you at your workplace. God's word is what God's leading to you. So you see at your work, whatsoever ever a man does, let him do it heartily as unto the Lord. Amen. That's God's leading to you at work. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. He tells the employers, pay them well. Do not be harsh on them. He says the employees, do not behave with the people that you have employed because they are brethren and you treat them harshly. Or rather, the people that are employing you, you treat them wrongly. But because they are even brethren, work hard. He tells you. That's God's leading. He says the person that steals, steal no more. God's leading. I shared many years ago, someone came to the local church and was ready to give the church a lot of money, but he was a fraudster. What's God's leading? God's leading is that we have to tell him, he that steals, steal no more. Did I hear God's voice? No. I have God's word. Praise the Lord. He that steals, steal no more. He said, I take it from people that took it from us, and I give it to the people that I think needs it. Amen. Praise God. I was like, Praise God. God's leading. Hallelujah. Church, we read God's word to know God's leading. We don't read God's word to make God happy. Amen. We read God's word to know God's leading. Right? Put your hand in Deuteronomy 32. Put your hand, take your Bible to Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. Say, I'm led by God. Do not be conformed to this world. Are you there? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to know what is the good, I mean, acceptable, even perfect, complete. It is there. You can know God's complete will. The nearer you are to God's complete will is the more of God's word you take in. You will just know what to do. Because God's word you take in starts to speak to you from within. Are you hearing me? Church, are you hearing me? Yeah. So that's why we teach God's word. We get you to feast on God's word. Right? Because when you feast on God's word, God's word, God's instruction, one of the principal ways that he leads you. Amen. So stop saying, God, lead me, if your Bible is closed. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 32. Verse 10. He found him in the desert land, in the waste, howling desert. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him. Did you see it? He led him. The leading was in the instruction. In the leading and the instruction is the protection. Are you seeing this there? He led him. The leading was in the instruction. In the leading and the instructing was the protecting. Praise God. This is consistent with God. Israel, he will lead them through pillar, right? And cloud. In the pillar and cloud, and his instruction to Moses was the leading. In that leading was the protecting. Praise God. Church, praise the Lord. Yeah. So the man that follows God's plan and God's purpose is a man. Or the man that follows God's leading is a man that is protected. However, sometimes in life, because of the wickedness of man, things can happen. Then we pray to ensure that the ministries and the powerful men, the powerful girls, the power operations of God is then made manifest to deliver people. But naturally, in the normal operations, in the leading of God and the instruction of God is a protection. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Very, very important. Look at the point. Look at verse 11. It says, as an eagle steereth up a nest, fluttereth over a young. He spread abroad his wings. He take them. He bears them. This is talking about God. God being there for people, carrying them. In the leading of God, there is supernatural ability. He's carrying them. Right? Look at it there. See, look at verse 12. So the Lord alone did lead them, and there was no strange God with them. He made him ride on the high places of the earth. So let me say this to you. He says the Lord alone did lead them, and there was no God with them. You know, sometimes your intelligence can be the idol. Amen. Church, amen. I want to use a very funny example, right? You know, you just want to make it applicable. But I'm saying that, so for example, God will find his way into the womb of Mary. She's now pregnant. Imagine Sister Victoria coming up to Reverend Toby, saying, Toby, Reverend Toby, I am pregnant. They say, how did you get pregnant? What did he, then, listen, then she would say, according to what I know, the Holy Ghost told me, the angel of the Lord told me this will happen. Now it has happened. I'm pregnant by the Holy Ghost. She has not seen that kind of thing before. He has not seen that kind of thing before. But this is the point here. The point here, you know that he had a dream. You know, in this church, let's just first clap for Joseph first. Let's clap for him. Amen. You know, he has a dream. Because I'm trying to say something here. He has a dream. In that dream, the Lord comes to him to tell him that your wife was made pregnant by my hand. You know, Joseph could have said, ha, 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 ha. You know, he could have said, really? You know, he could have said anything. Why? Because he is intelligent. He knows before now, at no point in time can a woman get pregnant without an intercourse. Are you getting my point? Are you getting my point? That's why I'm saying that sometimes the intellect is the idol. Go this way. How will we go? What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Amen. Church, amen. Now they give birth to this child. You know, if your brother told me in the example, just looking at each other. You are by the Holy Ghost. Okay. Then the angel comes again and says, take this child and run away to Egypt. For there are many that seek the woman, the child, and your life. You know, he could have said, well, the way we are looking at this Herod, he's a nice guy. I know people in power. It's not a big deal. Because it was a secret that Herod wanted to kill Jesus. Only the wise men, even the wise men did not know. God had to reveal it to them. I am saying to you that, just for example, if you're told by prophecy, oh, something is coming. A famine is coming. Be aware, a famine is coming. It's coming. Say, no, according to the economic progression, after every 4 years, there's a recession. Then after a famine is coming. What am I trying to tell you? For intelligent people, for gifted people, sometimes you are your idol. Amen? For successful people, sometimes you're your idol. So the Lord is instructing you. You can't take it because you know too much. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Right? And that takes me to my first point. Because I want you to learn how to be led supernaturally, naturally. How can that happen? Where which the leading of God and all the parameters around the leading of God is functional in your life. Sister Diola shared it with us in the resumption of the teaching. It's there. Proverbs 3. We're going to look at verse 6. How can I live a life that is being led of God? Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, meaning that you're a man, you will not miss God. Okay? Are you in Proverbs 3? I want to read verse 5. Are you there? Listen, if you get this, almost as the only thing you get in this meeting, you've gotten a lot for a life. It is important. Are you in verse 5 now? What does he say? Trust in the Lord with. So it takes sincerity. Did you see that it's all your heart? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And listen, let me tell you, the only thing that will make you trust the Lord with your life is the fact that he actually said he will come to this world, die for your sins, come out of the grave, and give you life. And how many people know Jesus is good on his word? He has done it. So God is credible. God is faithful. You can count on him. Amen. Church, amen. Look at it. Trust in the Lord. Even when your senses are saying whatever they are saying. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What is the issue? Lean not on your own understanding. Did you see that? Lean not on your own understanding. Why? This is talking to even men of understanding. Men that know. Amen. Men that know. Praise God. Praise God. Lean not on your own understanding. And there's a tendency in the world that we live in an information age, to lean on your understanding and not actually be living for God, though you're a believer. He says, lean not on your own understanding. Look at how you will know. Look at verse 6. How do you do this? How do you do it? In all your ways. What do you do? Acknowledge him. No, this is basic. How to be led 101. Meaning you don't even know anything charismatic. And you just want to be led by God. In how many of your ways? All your ways. Acknowledge him. and he will direct in all your ways. That's how you don't lean on your own understanding. This is an issue. You say, oh God, this is the plan. This is what I'm thinking. This is what I want to do. What do you say? You know, many years ago, I was in East Then Nigeria, preaching God's word, happy, popular, young, vibrant, whatever you call it. I'm still young. Your personal opinion. Yeah. And I used to love it. We would go into secondary school, lay hands, pa-pa-pa, set everybody on fire. And life was good, beautiful. We go to into the forest, places where you would not think people are. We'll preach the gospel there. I remember going somewhere. They said everybody in this particular town. He says every one of them, the husband, is a failure. They can never rise in this life. There's a curse on this land and a curse on our water. Every old person that marries ends up living in their wife's father's house. A cursed place. We entered. And we went to the place and we stood like that. And we said, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is the last time. If there was a curse, any demonic, it's over. We did all of that. After all of this, my friend said he was going to the cyber cafe. I'm saying this story so you understand what I'm trying to say. And we went, I followed him to the cyber cafe. That's how you know, where the computer, where they do, that's how you know, it's a long time ago. And he was vying to apply to the UK to come here to study. And I said, fine, sit down, me. I love what I'm doing. I'm spreading God's word around. I'm fine. We're getting people saved. But you want to go? Go. Sit down. He applied to the University of Birmingham. He just said, you're bored. Take some code. Get into the computer. Browse a little. And I was, now, this is man of God at my level that time. I was browsing, just looking around. I just hear God's word. Daya, my son, it's time for you to arise now and go to the United Kingdom. I said, it's a joke. I just logged off. Like, what is it? We are playing here now. I'm trying to help you understand. Lean not on your own understanding. I'm doing God's will. We are ministering to the sick. We are doing everything that we should do. And I said, okay, Lord, since you want to play that game, he said, look at Okpe. He said, he has been searching for schools. I'm not doing that. I don't have time for that. If you really want me to, like, because I thought it was the figure of my imagination. So I was like, this can't be God anyway. So if you really want me to go to the place, then tell me the school I'm going to. So I'm not going to apply to 14 billion schools like all these other Nigerians do. So you shall be going to University of Roehampton. I said, what? He said, Roehampton. I said, it's my mind. There can never be a school like that. I logged back in. There's a school like that. Ha. Okay, this play is becoming funny. I now applied. They now responded to me. They now said, before you can come into this university, you have to do English exam. I said, me? Do you know what I came out in school with? I was one of the best students in my class. I should do English exam. I said, God, I don't have time for this. English exam, me? I'm not doing English exam. Hello? I was thinking, yeah, God, I'm too busy. I can't do English exam. I wrote it. I cannot do English exam, oh dear University of Roehampton. Since you are not giving me units, you think I don't know how to speak English, though I have a BSc in public relations and all that. I'm not coming. Thank you very much. God bless you. It was nice having a time with you. I said, glory to God. God didn't say anything. The next week they said, we normally don't do this, but based on this particular situation, we have decided to weave. So I'm one of the only few students that I know that did not do that A-level, that we are weaving it for you to come. I was like, this is becoming a joke. I saw the school fees. I said, this is where it will not happen. I didn't have enough money to pay attention. £10,000. And it got to a point, I'm talking about lean not on your own understanding. Slowly and surely, I was going to live a known life to a place I had never been before, a territory I had never seen, nothing. I was going to leave everything. My understanding will say, stay back. Do what you are doing. Do all that you are doing. You're already fine. Lean not on your own understanding will be, Lord, this is looking funny and very, very funny. But if you say we should go this way, I really don't want to go, but let's go. Praise the Lord. In all your ways. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Let's go back again. Let's look at it again. I want you to see it carefully. Verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct. So who is the man that gets directed? The man that acknowledges. That's all. So if I wanted a quick way to get directed in the life I'm living, in all my ways, Lord, right? And that's why I always say, the man that acknowledges the Lord, a lot of things that people pray about is already in the plan. Praise God. Church, praise God. Who will have known that my wife was waiting for me in the land I didn't want to go? And many, who will have known that Brother Tosin was waiting for me? Who will have known that we will meet? Who will have known that I had to meet Sister Fola? Who will have known? Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he will direct your paths. Say, I've got the code. Come on, I've got the code. Acknowledge him and be honest. And that's why I tell people, do you know why I actually teach this? And I also talk about marriage as well, because it's when people are about to get married or married that people are quite emotional. Amen. Deacon Study, can I continue? Marriage coordinator, am I overflowing your boundary? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Because when people are getting, when you want to buy a house, your mind is straight. You go look at it. I don't like this place. The fence is not big. This is you are all calculate. But there is something about when Brother Toby tells Sister Victoria, I want us to. You see, there is just something that just makes that calculated. You know? So we have to talk about it. So the point is, you can be honest. And trust me, when I'm saying acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, I'm saying that with acknowledging the Lord in all your ways will come with patience. Because let me tell you something, there are some things in your life that you might not be able to comprehend and understand where you are. So one of the things you must understand as a believer is that on your journey, even when you are seeking the direction of the Lord and it's not clear for you, you don't know exactly what to do, keep growing. Praise the Lord. Keep feasting on God's word. God will instruct you. He will direct you. He is committed to it. But sometimes the believer is not able to discern as he ought to, so he ought to grow. Listen, do you know that God will not die if God shows you your whole life and says start living it? The truth is that some of us will still know that God said I'm supposed to be in California next week and we will still go to Bombay. It's part of human business. But I'm just saying that it will cost God nothing to show you your whole life. Amen. Because your whole life and the whole world, the Bible tells us, is a drop of water in a bucket. It cost him nothing. God, what's going on? It is love that is making him preserve some information. Amen. Just imagine we are telling someone like Micaiah now or Michael, you know, you're going to get married, you're going to go to university, you're going to do, and then you need to ensure that you're going to do econometrics, you do economics. At our old, the boy is, what are we going to be doing to that young man? It's one of two things. It's either we scare him or he wants to go to university tomorrow. Praise God. Church, praise God. But in due time, when it's time to go to university, does he go? Yeah. That's why it's quite important that even with the leading of God, there is the timing. And you must understand it. With the leading of God, there is timing. God will show you things to come. If you're in a charismatic environment, God will show you, or your eyes will be open to see things to come. Just like God would tell Moses, you are the one to deliver the children of Israel. God told him when he was 40. Amen? The Bible says he thought that he was supposed to start now, and so he killed people. Because when you try to do God's will by your energy, not acknowledging him, what will happen to you? You go outside of his will. Amen. Church, amen. So was it God's will for Moses to spend time in the wilderness for 40 years? No, it wasn't God's will. It wasn't God's will. It wasn't God's will that for him to spend time in the wilderness. Do you know he suffered in that wilderness? Amen. Do you know he suffered in the wilderness? He did. Praise God. Church, praise God. Yeah, he did. There are many, many things he encountered he was not supposed to encounter. He encountered those things because he did something he was not supposed to do as it relates to God's plan. God had told him he's to do this, right? What is he supposed to do? Okay, Lord, how do we go about this? That's acknowledging him. Acknowledging him. Let me tell you something. God will always lead you, get you to where he wants you to be if you will just follow his instructions. See, listen, you can never miss God. No, you can never miss. The only way you can be honest and miss God is if you are stubborn. You can't. God is too committed. I mean, let me tell you how God is. God will send, he will send a word. He will send a dream. He will send angel. You know, he got to a point, he even sent camel. Remember that? Remember, what's the name? He will send a human being, animal will talk. Balaam, he will talk. That's how God is with the believer. That's how God is with people. It's not actually about the believer. It's about the culture of God, the way of God. Amen. The reason why Israel will encounter all the evil they encountered is because they were intentionally very stubborn. And God will summarize them and say, a stiff-necked people in whom there is no faith. So I'm saying that you can never miss God. The only person that is genuine as a believer and misses God is the one that embraces stubbornness. He already has a plan. Hallelujah. I'll say it again. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. He shall direct thy paths. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. I'll say it again. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. He will direct your paths. So that's number one. So the man that will say, this is what I'm doing. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. He will. And you'll be surprised. He will. He will direct your path. You know, sometimes we think that we are the ones that know we need favor. You know the truth. If you needed anything, God is aware. Locate his plan. Did you know that God told Israel that you are going out of Egypt? God told them that you are going out of Egypt. I will cause the Egyptians to that you be pleasurable in their sight, that when you are going, tell them you are going, you are not coming back. Now tell them to borrow you gold and silver, and they will give you. Someone say favor. Come, say favor. Who initiated it? Are they the ones that said, God, the way we are going out, what's going to happen in the wilderness? No. God said, go to them. Imagine Dickin Diola coming to you to come and say, please, can you give me £10,000? I'm leaving this church and I'm never coming back again. Meaning between me and you, you will never see me again, but borrow me £10,000. And then you say, wow. She went to Cedar Falls. You mean I will never see you again? Say, yes. And I should borrow you? Yes. And they didn't talk about terms of return. And she says, wow, I love this. This is beautiful. And you know, she will go and meet the husband. Hello? Say, what? The Kindiola said, we will never see her again. And we should give her 10,000. And the man will also say, because we don't always understand what's going on. And it did not happen for one family. The whole camp, everybody, the whole camp was summarized in history as 5 million people. They were living in another city, so it was like Egypt was here. They were like in Glasgow. So they came down and asked and borrowed and said, you won't see us again, but give us money. And they said, yes, we'll give it to you. And the Bible says all of them got something that they asked for, gold and silver. And the Egyptian says, bye. And they never talked about the payment plan. Praise God. My point is, if you allow the Lord God lead you, every other thing is sorted. Where you are thinking, what we are. No. Don't see, for you to think it, understand that God is the one that gave you a brain. Praise God. Church, praise the Lord. Amen. All right. The next simple key, I'm talking about simple keys you cannot miss, and how you can live your life. And it will be a directed life. Matthew 6. I mean this, you can replicate in any generation. Any dispensation. Matthew 6. I want you to be there. Matthew 6.
Right? Are you in verse 27? Quickly, I want you to be in verse 27. Which of you, come and tell your neighbor, which of you, by taking thought, can add a cubit to his life? He's saying, which of you can by worry? So he's saying worry is a useless adventure. Nobody in the history of worry has ever worried, and in his worry, he was better. So the point is, before you start worrying, they are telling you that this is a fruitless adventure. Amen. Church, amen. Let me tell you what's about it. Pastor, if I'm not going to worry, what am I going to do? Do what Sister Victoria led us in doing this morning. What was that song you were singing? Jesus. Hey, tell me. Hallelujah to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah to you. Do that. Practice it. Because someone, I really, you see, Pastor Dio, the way he's just come and saying all of these things, he's not in the real world. When things come, hallelujah to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah to you. You can't even be crying when you're singing. Hallelujah to your name. If you are tired, hallelujah to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah to your name. Let me tell you something. There is nobody in the history of people who have actually cast their cares on the Lord and have come back to say, see, we cast it. Pastor Dio, you said we should do hallelujah to your name, Jesus. We have done it. It's even worse. Not one. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you, 2 Corinthians 20. It is the story of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was told by a nation, we would destroy you, Israel. They did not know what to do. Jehoshaphat would pray and say, oh God, to help it is with you. To help it is with you, oh God, to help it is with you. The Bible says as he was praying, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel. And that man prophesied and said, you shall not need to fight in this battle. You won't need to fight in this battle, for the fight and the battle is of the Lord. The Bible says that, and Jehoshaphat ordered the singers to go ahead, and they started to sing, for he is good, and his mercies endureth forever. For he is good, his mercies endureth forever. The Bible says, and the Lord sent ambushments. In your day and age, there might not be a war out there. The war will be in your mind. The war will be in your heart of worries. Jebusites, Anakites in the land. How are you going to sort it out? Hallelujah to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's the same thing they were doing. For he is good. His mercies endure forever. He is good. The Bible says the Lord sent ambushment. And they nicknamed that place even till today. It's called the Valley of Baraka. The Valley of Blessings. Where the place where Israel thought that they would be destroyed, but they were blessed. How? Acknowledging the Lord. Putting the Lord first. Instead of worrying, oh God, this was happening, oh God. That's why Christianity must be real to you. Oh God, this is what they are saying, this was happening. That's what happened to Jehoshaphat and his team. Paul and Silas, they prayed. After praying, they sang. After singing, the Holy Ghost. Ah, you don't like this message? You are in jail for preaching the gospel. God, you later learn in this series, God told them to go there. Imagine God says, arise and go to a place. And in the evening of the day, he says, arise. Evening. First message. After first message, you are in prison. The natural thing to do is, why me? Oh Lord, why now? What's this? Not any of that. They were praying. Then hallelujah to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah to your name. That's the way of casting your cares. The Bible, there is something about the parameters of the believer. There is something we activate just by casting our cares. Now, the opposite of it is to worry, to bother, right? It was a maximum prison of their day. They were looked at as terrorists of our days. They were put in inner prison. They were put in stocks. And brother and sister, they didn't complain. Hallelujah to your name, Jesus. Raka, zoko, jeka, heka. Hallelujah to you. The Bible says they did it and the prisoners heard them. So what we are talking about must be a lifestyle to you. It's a lifestyle. Amen. Oh, Lord. We were doing your will. Don't say, God, what's going on? What's happening? No, Lord, we're doing your will. We have found ourselves in prison. But we give you praise because you are good. Your mercies endure forever. You are kind. Oh, Lord, this what you know, sometimes, even in God's will, Lord, this is the person you said I will marry. He has gone to marry Toke.
Hallelujah to your name, Jesus. You'll be crying, hallelujah to your name, Jesus. In that place, you forgive. It's a journey. You will forgive and all of that. And then God will always say to believers, stop acting like God, you're an orphan. God just sent you with the impossible word of God to do and you are just living a terrible life. No. When it gets too hard, hallelujah to your name, Jesus. You get a hallelujah to your name, to your name, to your name. That's what the Bible will tell you. Be filled with the Spirit. Singing to yourselves. In psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, to the Lord. Amen. Amen. You're not talking about the problem. You're talking about He's good, His mercy. What were they singing? What was Jehoshaphat and the team? What were they singing? For He is good and His mercies is enduring forever. He is good, His mercies. Yeah, that's what you do. Instead of, so there is energy. You can use the energy for worry. Or you can use the energy in the God-like way by being spirit-filled. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what you do. Amen. So let's go back to Matthew 6, verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, by worrying, can add a cubit to your life? Why take thought? Why worry about clothes? Why? And it says, consider the lilies of the field. Amen. Instead of worrying, consider. He says, look at the lilies, how they grow. And they toil. They spin. He says, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of this. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more shall he not clothe you, O ye of little faith? Verse 31. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? He's talking about a mindset of worry. Are you getting the point? Amen. It's not that your husband comes to you, what are we going to eat this morning? Didn't you see Matthew 6:31? Says we should not take thought of what we are going to eat. Amen. That's not what he's saying. You know, in this day and age, you must declare what you are saying. What is he trying to say? There is a way not to think. Amen. So you can tell your wife or your husband, what are we going to eat? And you're asking a plain question. Is it rice or is it burger? Amen. Praise God. Amen. He says, take no thought what we shall drink or what we're going to clothe. He says, look at verse 32. For after these things do the Gentiles seek. This is the mindset of the unbeliever. The unbeliever, that man that thinks he's orphaned, that is cut out from God, that is seeking to actually, he believes that if he doesn't sort it, nobody can sort it. So he's always in that mindset of anxiety. He doesn't know that he has a father. He thinks he's all alone. That man would always be thinking, what are we going to, if we don't, he's worrying. So worrying is the estate of the orphan or the man that thinks he's an orphan. But you are not. That's the point. Amen. Church, amen. Look at the important point in 32. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these. Go say it again. Your heavenly knoweth that ye have need of all these. But what is the plan, the way, how a believer is to walk in his journey on the earth? Is in verse 33. In the leading of God, how do I, like, I'm not trying to get led. How can I just live my life and I'll be sure that I'm at the center? Do you know the beautiful thing of being able to say, I'm at the center of God's plan? I'm actually at the center. Amen. Why? Look at verse 33. What is that thing that I do? He says, seek ye first. Come on, look, say, seek ye. Come on, say, seek ye. Seek ye. Listen, as a believer, they must not be able to guess what is first in your life. Not just from proclamation, but from action. You know, there are a lot of people that are good talkers. Ah, God! Me and God, when we start like this. Right? And God says, how do you show that you love me? It's serving, being there for people, being visible. It's not the one of, God sees my heart. God sees your heart, but God says people should feel your heart too. Amen. God understands. No, people should understand too. Praise the Lord. Because a lot of people get into the rat race of life too early. And I'm always thinking maybe they didn't see this too early. The Bible says, if it's the unbeliever, leave him. But with the believer, it doesn't matter the economy, the situation, wherever you find yourself, with the believer, there is a first love. He will look at the church in Revelation. He will say, you are forsaking your first love. Go back. Go back to your first love and your first works. You've forgotten the lover. The one that loved you died and gave himself for you, and you have busied yourself with many other things. Jesus was speaking in a parable. He said, there are some people, when they were in jail, when I was in jail, I was visited. When I was hungry, they gave me food. He says, when were you? Because there's the hypocrisy of man. If God appears here and God says, do anything, people will do. God now says the way to show that you really love me is doing for people, being there for people. Then because people think that it's not really so, they don't attribute value to the lives of other people. Praise God. Church, praise God. Church, praise God. So the point is, the Bible says, for the believer, that is why the believer sometimes, you find him in a rat race. He's trying to know what to do in life. The Bible says, no, the believer does not try to find to know what to do. You see, God's leading seeks you. You seek the kingdom. Amen. Don't quote me, but stay seeking. Everything gravitates to the center. I said, don't quote me because, you know, that's another way. Everything gravitates to your center. Do you know what people do? They do every other thing. They seek God like 17th. Then they enter into trouble. They say, why now? Now, God is gracious. He will help you, but there was a plan. Amen. He says, it doesn't matter. You sometimes you don't feel it. Seeking God and the assignments behind it does not look funny. But bro, that is the hack of your life. Is the hack. If you don't understand it, you'll just be wondering, how come that? What is? That is why you have to reorder your life to ensure what is number one. You would have to. Praise God. There are some things you say, I cannot engage in this because it will affect who is number one. Praise, you know, there is nothing that should be struggling number one with you. No, if you are a human being and you're born again, it must be clear who your number one is. Just like my school, King's College, says, when the call is answered, all must answer, yeah. It's not a matter of, and you know, King's College is not number one in my life. But the point they are saying is, the way we are committed to the school, if there is a problem like this, everybody say, I'm available. That's it. When the call is sounded, all answer, yeah. Every other thing is number two or number three. Praise God. When I was going to go and get married, I said, my wife, I need to have a conversation with you. We need to go somewhere that you will remember. Memorable. Because my point is, I want to be able to tell you, when we went to Wellsfield, did I not tell you that? So she picked Wellsfield in Stratford. No, it's not Stratford. They did not open that one that time. The one in London, in West London. Sat down. And I gave her a template. This is me. This is what I'll be doing with my life. And all, I don't want anything from you. I just want to let you know that Jesus is number one in my life. And me, I've come to live a life of peace. Jesus is number one in my life, meaning that I don't have allegiance to a nation. I don't have allegiance to anything. The only person, so it was not a many, many things. What are your rules? Do you have 10? Don't, it's only two. Number one, Jesus is number one. And number two, I love peace. That's all I talked about in marriage counseling. As long as just number one. She said, are you going? I said, she said yes. I said, wait, you don't understand. I'm saying that we are here now. If Jesus said we are living here for Morocco, we are not going to be talking about it. We are going to Morocco. She said, yes. You will not believe it that we got married on Saturday. On Tuesday, the Lord said we should arise and go to Glasgow. Tuesday. Someone say 3 days. Say 3 days. You know why we didn't discuss it? We didn't have special table talk. Well, you see now. You see? God in his omnipotence is saying I should go to Glasgow. I just said, you know what? I'm on the honeymoon, as you all know, you're at the wedding. Eh? Right? I will land in London on Saturday. You will see me on Sunday morning. And we go. We move from there. You know, I didn't discuss anything like, are you coming or are you not coming? Amen? With my wife. All the whole idea of her having to resign from work, having to do all of those things. No, my story is not your story. I'm just telling you mine. I'm saying that because God is number one, I'm not saying, based on if it is now, and with my kids are in school now, and the Lord says we should move now, bro, we'll move. Why? God is number one. The God that is number one that said we should move in November is mad. That's how to be. That's how a Christian is. Praise God. Praise God. Let me tell you to help you with common sense. If the Lord tells you something and you don't understand it, so God gives an instruction to Saul. Because there's the leading of God. There is common sense. There's the way to go. God tells Saul, I want you to go and anoint David. He's the next king. Someone say instruction. Yeah, God told him. Right? So Samuel said, Lord, you want me to go and anoint David or anoint somebody in the land of King David? Have you not heard about David in the land of King Saul? Have you not heard about Saul? Saul is mad. If he hears I come to town to anoint another person, he will kill me. Do you know what the Lord said? I'm only also telling you that you can be genuine with the Lord. Ask him. Don't just be saying, God, what's going on? Ask him, Lord, if you say we should go at this time, see this, and wait for his response. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that's what Samuel did. Samuel said, what are you saying I should do? I should go to the land where king is, Saul is king, and anoint David as king. Saul will kill me. He says, no, when you go, don't shout everywhere. I'm coming here to anoint David. He will kill you. He says, what you should do, he says you are coming for a sacrifice and go from there. So with the will of, you know, because sometimes people are in the will of God have been stupid. God tells you, Sister Fola is your wife. You have heard it. You know it. You start preparing. Don't just go, hello, Sister Fola. God told me to tell you that you are my wife. That's stupid. Why? While you know. So be a friend. Amen. Be a friend. You know the end. You know the end. Help her with her coursework. You know the end, though. Not that you just, because what's going to happen? What's going to happen is that you just coming about Redo Kapakana, Super, Sakalika, Fola baby, you are mine. It will put her off. You will not be thinking, what? Many Christians are like that. There's common sense. I'm trying to say, you can ask God questions, even in the plan, even in the will. But the point is, he must always be number one. Praise God. Church, praise God. So in a land, and that's where a lot of people don't have this real robust relationship with God, where you are told you can ask God questions, people would actually then go the route of compromise. Compromise is easy when you don't have a real relationship with God that you can ask God questions and be patient enough to know if he would answer. You know that, you know, he will hear. He has heard me. He will show me in his time. I just grow. What do I do when I'm patiently waiting? I grow. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. There was a particular lady who wanted to get into a relationship, and the man was ticking all the boxes. But she just felt something. We're going to be talking about all those next week. She just felt something from within. Amen. I have 4 minutes. She just felt something from within that just told her that is not right, but she could not pick it. And then she said, Lord, what's going on? This man is doing all the Christianese. He greets me with Rota Kapahai. Super Hakahande. How was your night? Glorious and fabulous. Two angels were by my side. All those kind of. But she just felt something was not right. And she spoke to the Lord about it. Amen? Right? And then she spoke to me about it. And I said, don't worry. God talks. So God shows. God is not into all this. He talks. It shows. He reveals. I said, calm down. He will show you. If there is something within, he's going to show you. Give it patience. Write this down. Where knowledge fails, apply patience. Patience will reveal every deception. Where knowledge fails. Meaning you can't pick it, but you are just this something. Apply patience. Where knowledge fails, apply patience. Patience will reveal every deception. It will come out. And I said, God will tell you. God will show you. That, you know, he'll show you. And this was a holy brother, so to speak. One day, someone just asked her to go and do something. And she saw the guy coming out with boxes of drinks, alcohol. You know, that for her was already a sign that what she was feeling in her heart was true, that this man was a liar. He was a deceiver. And so he was living a double life. That's how she caught up from the guy. At least you cannot be holding, you cannot open a drink. You know, there are some ways they will catch you. You cannot open a drink and be saying, krakapoko, kaka. They've caught you. So you just like, it's not what you think. Amen. Or what am I saying? The second thing I want to share with you, which as we're concluding, which I've said so far, seek ye first. Regulate your life by, is he first? That's why Paul will say, Examine yourself. Are you in the faith or are you reprobate? Check it. You do it regularly. Is God first in my actions, in my decisions? Amen. Because that's what happened to that church, that glowing church, where with John, but the Lord will send John to the pastors of the church and say, you have forgotten your first love. Meaning you were once burning. You were born on fire for God. But all of a sudden, one way or the other, through precious things of life, issues of life, what has happened? God is now, you know, sometimes God is number two and is no longer okay. God's place is number one in your life. Amen. Let us conclude. I have two more minutes. Look at it there. But seek ye first the kingdom. Who is speaking first? Church. Who is speaking here? We're in Matthew 6, if you are with us. Verse 33. Who is speaking? Come on, who is speaking? Jesus. I'm talking about the codes, the very simple two things I've shared about today. That if this was your way, you walk so ever easily in the plan of God. The first one is acknowledge him in all your ways. He will direct your path. So direction is the fruit of acknowledging. As long as I'm acknowledging him, putting him, getting him involved, I am being real enough to say, oh Lord, okay, this. And he says, okay, no problem, still go in that way, I will. Yeah, acknowledge him. And the next one, put him first. That's it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The only two things we came to church to learn today in terms of the reality of the teaching. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That word there would be the right way he does things. And what's the reality for the believer? And all, look at it there. Are you there? Are you in 33? And all these things. Is it in your Bible? So in our kingdom, things are added. Amen? If you don't do it well, it will be a pursuit. Things are added. Don't get me wrong. This teaching is not endorsing laziness. You walk as a believer. Do all the things that you need to do as a believer. But the point is number one in your life. I'm breaking it down so that by the time we get to the other things as relates to navigation by God, you will not say you don't know how to. Number one, very clear. Acknowledge him. Number two, seek him first. He's first. He's always first. And what is the learning point for you tonight? You go back home. Think through the message and be honest with yourself. And you need to make some particular adjustments. Is God first in my finances? Is it first? How do I spend my time? Is it first? Different area. Is it first as it relates to service? Is it first? There are different things in our lives that we call service. Is it first? Or do we have excuses? Like I always tell people, in this local church, I always tell people, right, we are all believers first. Everyone is meant to put the Lord first, before any other title. Praise the Lord. Seek him first. Put him first. Set your affections on him. Let the things of the Lord, let them be your joy. He says the fruit of this is direction. The fruit of this is that you have the path and the way to go. Rise upon your feet. Hallelujah. Come on, rise upon your feet. If you have learned something today, come on, lift up your hands to the Lord where you are. Please, lift up your hands to the Lord and have a conversation. You know, simple teachings like this is to bring you to a point of consecration, where which you talk to the Lord. Honestly, this is another opportunity. You talk to the Lord. So it's still part of the service. Please talk to the Lord and speak, oh Lord, I've heard your word. I've learned the way you want me to go. The way you want me to go is acknowledging you. Oh Lord, I am sorry. Yes, you tell God sorry if you think you have messed up in one way or the other. Lord, I'm sorry that I have not been acknowledging you how I ought to. And now, Lord, I am now aware. I'm being reminded by my pastor. I'm now aware that I'm to acknowledge you in my ways. I've not been doing that as I ought to. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, in the name of Jesus. That would be you having a real conversation with the Lord. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Jesus. I have lived in anxiety, so I've always taken my own decisions myself. I've always done that. I've always done that. Now and no longer. Now I know you care for me. Rehearse the things you have heard in this service today. And number two, say, Lord, I know now that I am to put you first. When you are not first, any other thing that is first is an idol. I want you to be the center of my worship, not my job, not my this, not my that. My husband is not my number one. The children are not number one. Nothing is number one. You are number one. Lord, I repent of any kind of actions that has made it look like every other thing is number one. I am not number one in my own life, oh God. Lord, thank you for this time that we have had together. You are still praying. Lord, I thank you for this time of correction. My life will not remain the same again. Thank you, because now I know that I'll be able to pick your leading as I stay in the right place, acknowledging you, and I put you first. Thank you, Father. Are you praying? Father, we give you praise. We give you the glory. Oh, blessed be your name. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we pray today for everyone here who has heard this message and those who hear it. Lord, we pray for them. Oh, that their hearts will be receptive to the truth they've heard today in the name of Jesus. Because we know that when this is first, according to your word, other things follow. Lord, he says, when this is first, other things follow. Thank you because of the wisdom to put you first. We give you praise and the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, and the saints say, amen. As you walk. Let me say something. Amen. God doesn't want you to put him first so that things will go right in your life. God wants you to put him first because that's what is right. Things only go right because they are now following the plan. Are you getting it? This is not a transactional operation that we have preached here today. Are you getting it? God, it is right to put God first. It is right to acknowledge him. It's just that, as it were, there are reality benefit of doing this. We are not doing it for the benefit. We are doing it because it is right. But it's also good to know that there are benefits. Father, we give you praise. We give you the glory. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name. And the saints say, amen. Come on, and the saints say, amen. Praise the Lord.